Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Our New Year's series, looking at some important things. We're calling this Things to Do in 2022. Today, we've got another installment of that because the culture of church often can be impacted by the culture of the society around us. That's just what happens. And Jesus addressed the culture of church. He came and oftentimes as he would walk with his followers, he would point out some elements that they needed to correct, that they needed to examine. And so we started off talking about needing to share our faith and how important that is. Last week we talked about the importance of prayer. And those are two things that, looking at 2022, making an intentional effort to share Christ, making an intentional effort to up your prayer life and your study life, that's a critical for our spiritual success and spiritual health in 2022. Now, inside both of those elements, you know, getting in the Word is so, so important. And I know that today's topic is being fully committed, okay? Notice the word in the middle there between be committed, because I didn't just say be committed. I said be what committed? Fully committed to Christ. And I know that this is an important area. And it's one that we always need to evaluate ourselves. And so I want to kind of begin with this scripture in Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. It says, "And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will do what, gang? Lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." This is a pretty intense word here, and a pretty intense verse here in chapter 10, verse 38. Jesus saying, look, whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. This is a challenge for all of us. If we really want to find our lives, and I tell you that everyone's talking about, oh, how we find ourselves. And there's such a look inward in our culture right now. Jesus is giving us his teaching. Hey, if you want to find yourself, you're going to have to lose yourself. You know, this journey to narcissism that we experience with the dawning and advent of social media hasn't made people more secure. Newsflash, it has not made people more secure. Okay, the trappings of fame and success don't do anything for people. I mean, look what happens when they're away from their technology. They crumble. If you want to find yourself, you're going to have to look somewhere else, gang. Here's what's harder, because I know many of us look to find our life and our identity in many arenas away from Christ. We look for identity in our sense of worth and value, our security. All of these, we look away from God. And Jesus makes this tough statement. God should be in every area of your life, your professional life, your social life, your family life, your recreational life. God is not a killjoy, gang, but rather he is an eternal joy. And now what's really scary, and this is messed with me, and I had to talk with my wife last night about it, because she's kind of my North Star. A lot of times I'll wrestle with things, and if I want common sense, I go and I talk to my wife. And I bounce some things off of her, and she kind of helped me with some things here. Because in Matthew chapter 10, context is so important. The beginning of Matthew chapter 10, he sends his disciples out. He gives them authority and he says, hey, you need to be doing this work of ministry, and he empowers them to do it. And then he says, hey, persecution's going to come. He lets them know that you're going to be persecuted for doing the work that I have you here on this earth to do. Okay? And then he tells them, but don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of the persecution that you're going to experience. And then he goes on And we're just going to read this verse that leads right up to what we read in verse 38. Starting in verse 34, he says, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be of his own household. Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." That's a hard statement. I gotta tell you, that's a hard statement, because family is everything. It is hard for us to read this through the lens of 2022, because family is important, right? And it should be. Family should be important. But family should not be our idol. And that's a hard one. It is so easy for this to happen. And I admit, man, I wrestle this at times. And I have seen in my life so many pastors sacrifice their families on the altar of ministry. But the balance of that is to sacrifice being fully committed to Christ on the altar of family. And I know this sounds hard. Please listen to the fullness. Because we have to take care. What I've seen from times in our culture right now is that we protect and we insulate our family from being fully committed to Christ. Now, here's why this is important. Eternity is at stake. One is temporal and one is eternal. The beauty is we have an eternal family. I want to be part of the eternal family, and I am, and I have to be very, very careful. Okay? Now, he's not saying that he desires to have us attack our family members. He doesn't say that he said, look, this is what's going to happen. And no, God is not anti-family. In fact, the focus of this message is not about that at all, but rather it's a statement that our priorities, even in family, is we have to keep God first. Ultimately, I believe that putting God first will bring us, in fact, closer together as a family. Here is the other point that's critical for us to understand. He's basically saying not everyone is going to get it. Some folks will reject Christ. And our response to them is to love them, to minister to them, but to understand that Jesus said, both literally and figuratively, that following Christ will be a challenge to us at times. And there may be times that this struggle hits close to home. Be careful, gang, not to emotionally hear this message. I'm not saying at all that God is anti-family, not all, but I'm saying that God is wanting family to be eternal and that families need to be eternally minded. What happens when we take a time out from God to be family is we're in trouble. Because we're basically endorsing a facade. Be real. What I'm saying is bring God into everything. Everybody say everything. Everything. We shouldn't have family time and then God time. We should have God family time. Same with our professional life. Same with our recreational life. Same with everything. I believe that Christ would rather that we were honest than try to say, oh, we're carving out our life, and we're saying now we're in relationship with God time, and now we're in doing our other stuff. The radical invitation that we have through Jesus Christ is to knock down those barriers and just be who he called us to be. And sometimes that means embrace the mess and be honest with it and then walk through that. Parents, grandparents, be eternally minded. Take up your cross. And so what I'm saying is, in all areas of our life, in our family, in our parenting, in our grandparenting, in our neighboring, in our brothering, in our sistering, in our friending, befriending, take up your cross and follow him. Okay? Don't just put on faith for convenience sake. God is calling us to be all in. So let me go to another portion of scripture here. Because we ought to be fully committed. And some of you may think that I need to be fully committed right now. But that's okay. Okay, so let's look at Luke chapter 12, verse 35 through 44. Here's another really wonderful scripture. Jesus says, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table, for he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have not left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Verse 41, Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. Now I know for a long time, that when I began my walk with Christ, and I just want to call something out that is in our culture that has infected our spiritual culture. Okay, I had this mentality, which people would say is a good mentality. That is this: I wanted to get the very most while giving the very least. In business, we applaud people as such, right? It's a smart thing. I always tell my kids, work smart, not necessarily, you know, I want them to work hard, but work smart. You know, don't just overdo. It's important that we manage our time and our resources correctly. But what happens is I get it that on this earth, sometimes we reward people, you know, who can do the least and get the most. But is that the example that Jesus set for us? In fact, I think he kind of flipped it around. Jesus gave everything. Okay? And so we, as followers of Christ, if we want to be fully committed, we got to be fully committed. Not trying, because I realize in my younger days, my younger, stupider days, I approached that. It was kind of like 5-minute abs. All right? Why would I spend half an hour doing an ab workout when I could have 5-minute abs? Why would I spend 30 minutes with God when I could get what I needed with 90 seconds? How can I maximize my time and get the most out without fully committing to Christ? I think we're missing it, because the reward of Christ is being with him in the midst of the disciplines. Okay? I guess what I'm saying, and they always make fun of me, in staff meeting, I get such a hard time because they're like, you know, you call us idiots and you call us stupid and you call us, and I don't mean to call people thing, but I'm going to ask something. Are you a cheapskate Christian? How many of you are cheapskate Christians? Here's how you know if you're a cheapskate. I sound like Jeff Foxworthy, you know. Now, here's how you know if you are a cheapskate Christian. Do you look to just short God? Do you look to find the quickest, easiest way to check the box, to get through your devotion time, to do whatever? Do you say, well, I want to read this. You know what? This may take too long. Are we constantly trying to get done with our God time so that we can get back to our life? If that's you, please hear me, beloved. You don't get it. It's about spending time with God. It's about relationship. You know, it's something that we have to rethink, that we have to re-wrestle, that we have to go to the Lord. We have to go to the Lord and say, open up my eyes, like we sang today, that I can understand it. We need to fully commit to Christ because he's given us eternal life. He saved us from hell and damnation. Anybody excited about that? I mean, well, think of what he's done for us. Okay, and I give you this. It's a wrestle, but don't quit wrestling. Don't be okay with some areas of your life being off limits to the Lord. Rather, welcome him in. And to unwind this tangled mess, perhaps we can start with a few basic concepts from our text today, okay? How do we keep our lamp burning? And I want to get there. I want us to get there. Because there are far too many people who are on the sidelines right now, okay? We have to totally lock in. So I got three thoughts for us here today. that will help us to fully commit to Christ. And the first thing is this. Remember that everything is His. And now, everything is His. Let's just kind of go through a little list here. Leviticus 25:23 says, "The land is mine." When you're mowing your lawn, you ain't mowing your lawn. You're tending His, right? Everything is His. Psalms 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's." Whose is the earth? It's the Lord's. Psalm 50:10, "Every beast of the forest is mine." All right? All that, everything's there. Haggai 2:8, "The silver is mine, the gold is mine." How many of you fret and worry about money? I got good news. It ain't your money. It ain't your money. It's all His. The silver, the gold, everything the currency is based on, it is His. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. "You are not your own. You were what? You were bought at a price. Your life is not your own." You know, it's like an automobile. You have signed over when you receive Christ. The great thing is He's taken ownership. You are not yours. You are His. James 1:17, "Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father." I know sometimes when we're thinking about, we wake up in the morning, we think, "Oh, I've got so much to do. I got so much to do. How am I going to manage my time?" Here's a revolutionary new thought. It ain't your time. It's His. He created the earth. He created it. All is His. It's like this. Okay, so, you know, long ago, when my kids were younger, I remember we went to a basketball game. And we had sent one of our kids in early, and we had given them money to get inside. Okay? In fact, I gave him $10 to get in and to buy their admission and to get something to eat. And that was my last $10. So my beloved wife paid my entrance to get in. So I'm sitting there with no money, and my child was sitting there with the change. And I said, "Hey, I'd like some popcorn, but I don't have some money." And here's what my beloved daughter said. "I'll lend you some of mine." Well, thank you. How generous you are with my money! We'll grab that one. Remember to edit that down. Yeah, so, you know, it's crazy. And I thought about that. I was like, yeah, seriously? You're going to give me some of your money that I gave you? And I got kind of, and then got puffed up. Well, yeah, are you going to pay me back? Pay you back? It's mine to begin with. And I got kind of frustrated, and I saw, you know, kind of this uppity little attitude. Guess what? We are just like that with God in everything. We act like everything is ours. Well, I worked hard for my money. Who gave you the ability? Who formed you in your mother's womb? Who gave you the skills that you have to even do these things? Imagine how different life would look if we realized everything is His. When we forget that everything is God's, we get selfish and we get uncharitable, don't we? When we think it's ours, we hoard it and we hold on to it. And we wonder, are we going to have enough? It's got to last me through. Everything is His, and we are called to administer what He has entrusted to us, gang. You know? Folks, we have to get to this place to understand, because you can worship Him at all places and you can talk to Him at all times, but you're not being honest with yourself if you're not understanding that everything is in fact His. Everything is the Lord's, and we are called to manage it. That's what relationship with God looks like, gang. So if you want to figure out what is a hurdle to fully committing to Christ, realize that sometimes we don't fully commit because we think we got to take care of our stuff instead of realizing that it's all His. Second thing that will help us to fully commit is remember that we're going to give account. Now this is when everybody gets a little lump in their throat, okay? We are going one day to give account. This will help get us out of the shallows into being more fully committed. Romans 14:12. Each one of us will give account of himself to God. Every one of us is going to stand before the Lord. Now, again, let me make sure everybody gets this. I'm not talking about heaven or hell is not based on how good we are. Heaven and hell is based on accepting Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Praise God for that. We are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ when we accept Him and through faith. It is by faith, it is by grace. You are saved through faith, and this is not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. But believers who are saved are also going to face a judgment, and in that judgment, they're going to be rewarded of their actions, and they're going to give account for their actions. We're going to have to give account. That we understand. Matthew 25:15-30. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them with his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, and each one according to his ability. Then he went away. And he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. Also he had 2 talents, had 2 talents more. But he who had received 1 talent went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I've made 5 talents more. And his master said to him, keep going. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered me 2 talents here. I've made 2 talents more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into... Okay, I'm sorry. I just lost my place there. I mean, 24, there you go. Thank you. And he also, who had received 1 talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, and here's what he said, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered not. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was mine with interest. So take the 1 talent from him and give it to the one who had 10 talents, for everyone who has will be given, and he who has an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness, in that place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Gang, he didn't commit. Okay, he didn't commit. He didn't realize that he's called there. Now I know that I'm not saying to commit out of fear. I'm saying out of appreciation. Understand all that what God has given for us, and that if we want to commit, sometimes people don't commit because of a past hurt, because of mistrust, and I get it. Sometimes people don't want to commit to Christ or don't want to commit to the church because they've been mishandled by church folk. But that can't be an excuse to keep you from God. Don't let someone's hurtful actions separate you from a loving God. There is healing and there is fulfillment. Okay? Everything is God's. And gang, we are going to give account. Consider the rich young ruler in Matthew 19:16, where Jesus, rich young ruler came to him, said, what do I have to do to have eternal life? And he points him to the commandments. He says, I've done these since I was a youth. And then Jesus looked at him, and scripture says, and he loved him. And he said, sell what you have and give your possessions to the poor and you'll have treasures in heaven. He literally gave him the secret to have treasures in heaven. And he walked away sad. And it says, why? Because he had great wealth. Here's the problem. He had great wealth. He'd forgotten that first rule. Everything is God's. Jesus offered him the option to become uncluttered, unfettered by distraction. And so he offers us the same thing. Remember that everything is God's. Remember that we are going to give account, gang. We have to understand. And this brings me to my final point. You want to be fully committed? Learn the lesson from these individuals. Christ is coming back. He is coming back. Remember that He is coming back soon. And I think sometimes we get kind of complacent because we think, oh, He didn't come back yesterday. He didn't come back the day before. He might come back, but I'm not going to live my life as if He's coming back tomorrow. Let me ask you a question. What does that say about us that we would live differently if we knew He was coming back tomorrow? If we knew He was coming back tomorrow, would you live differently today? And most of us would say, yep. There are things I would tighten up. There are things I would probably really, really look at. What does that say? We forgot the first two rules, that everything is God's and that we're going to give account. Understand, if we lived our life like He's coming back tomorrow, we wouldn't be holding on to grudges. We would be more generous. Life would look so much different. And what I'd like to submit to you, Luke chapter 12, 39 through 40, and then dropping down to verse 43. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have not left his house to be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Verse 43, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Gang, some of us try to get the most from God while giving the least. But if Jesus is our example, we need to move forward. We need to really pour into this, understand. He did not hold anything back, and He calls us to live a life that we know that everything is His. We know that we're going to give account, and we know that He's coming back soon. Those are simple thoughts, simple things that we can put into practice in our life that I believe is going to help some of us get out of the rut. Some of us get right back onto that track to being fully committed, to be sold out for Christ. How would we live if we knew He's coming back tomorrow? Ponder that. Would you please stand to your feet and let's pray. Father in heaven, I do praise You and I do thank You for Your great love for us. Lord, I pray as we enter this new year, as we begin, that Your Spirit would help us to take stock of where we stand. Father, if we've gotten complacent, if we have fallen into that fallacy, that wrong thinking, that things are ours, not Yours, that Your return isn't imminent. Forgive us, Lord, of kind of being like that slothful servant, Lord, who didn't correctly steward all the wonderful gifts that You've entrusted to us. I pray, God, that in the things that are closest to us, our family, our friends, the things that are most precious to us, Lord, I pray, God, that we wouldn't try to protect them from You, but Lord, we would embrace You in all areas. Thank You, God, that You give us grace. We're not there. We're not perfect, but Lord, we want to strive. And right now, Lord, I pray for every person in this room who, when they look at their life and they say, yeah, I'm not living it in the shadow of the cross. I'm not fully committed yet. Lord, challenge us to come to a place today where we walk away from selfishness. We walk away from self-centeredness. We learn the example that is laid before us as how Jesus walked out His life. Let us be motivated by the love of Christ rather than the fear of judgment, to change our actions and to bring them into line with that which brings pleasure to You. Thank You for grace that continues to be extended to us. Lord, I pray for a decision right now. I pray that we would step up to be who You called us. We ask this in Jesus' name. All God's children said, amen. God bless you, church family. I'll be happy to pray for anybody who needs prayer today. If you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never made a commitment to Christ, and today's the day, and you're saying, look, I need to be all in. I need to not be trying to get the most from God while giving the least. I just don't get that. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, I invite you to please come forward. I'll be happy to pray with you. Or if you need prayer for any reason, I'll be happy to pray with you as we sing Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.